From our family to your family, this is A Legacy of Faith, the podcast.
Welcome to A Legacy of Faith, the podcast designed to help your family survive the day, plan for tomorrow, and always keep an eye on eternity. We're glad that you joined us for episode number 103 of the program. And on this episode, I am flying solo. Nothing bad going on, just busy. And Lee is actually getting ready to leave, as I'm recording this, tomorrow for a Preacher's Wives retreat. And we just have a lot of other things going on, evening times and other times during this week. And so it was just difficult for us to get our schedules together enough to prepare and record. And so I told her I would just fly solo on this one. Don't turn off the program just because Lee is not here. I know most of our listeners, in fact, all of our listeners, love it when we're together instead of just me. But we wanted to make sure we got an episode out. And Lord willing, she will be back with me again on the next program. We just could not get that together. Because it's just me, I'm going to keep this a little bit shorter this time, but also stick to one subject. You know, if you're a regular listener, that often we jump back and forth between maybe two or three articles and talk about them. But on this episode, what I want to do is just talk to parents and just give a very simple list that hopefully you can add to as well in your own home and your own life. But one of the things we strive to do in our lives as Christian parents is to fill the minds of our children with good and pure things. And of course, especially, we want to fill the minds of our children with Scripture, with the Word of God. You know, David, if he wrote Psalm 119, which I believe he did, whoever did write Psalm 119, wrote that famous line, "Your word have I treasured up in my heart," or "stored up in my heart, that I might not sin against you." We want to fill our children's minds with the Word of God. And often here on the program, we talk about family Bible time or family devotionals. You may call it different things. But instead of that, what we're calling this list is six subtle ways to fill your children's minds with Scripture. In other words, we're thinking about sort of just day-to-day things, not necessarily a formal family Bible time or even an informal family Bible time or something that takes, you know, a great deal of time, but just things you can do around your house. And of course, it brings to mind Deuteronomy chapter 6, where you recall that the children of Israel there were told that great Shema, that great teaching, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." And then God through Moses told the people, "These things you shall teach to your children." You remember he told them to teach at all times. It's often paraphrased that way. You know, when they're walking, sitting, and to put Scripture everywhere, just on and on it goes. And in reality, that passage is talking about the nation doing that. Even though it says children, he's really talking about the full nation doing that. But of course, that passage is often used to remind parents, not just anyone who's around children, but specifically parents, that this is our duty to make certain that we are teaching our children Scripture at any and every opportunity. And so what I want to do in this program is simply share six just subtle, simple ways that we can always have the Word of God, or at least things of God, before the eyes and the minds of our children. Again, there are six that I'll list and just spend a few moments on each one, and then the program will be yours. First of all, if we want to fill our children's mind with Scripture, I want to suggest that we use biblical language. Now, what I mean by that is not that we speak in old English. I'm not talking about talking to your children saying these and thous and putting ETH on the end of all the words. That's not what I'm talking about. What I mean when I say use biblical language is to very simply tie things that happen in life to Scripture that they already know. For example, I guess you have a couple of examples here of what I'm talking about. Maybe your child comes home from school, or they've been playing over at a friend's house or something along those lines, and they say, "You know, it was cold today, but I saw Susie give her jacket to," and they name another child. You could have two responses as a parent. Well, you could have more than two, but so often we will just say something like, "Oh, wasn't that a nice thing to do?" Now, there's nothing wrong with that response because it certainly was a nice thing to do. But how about this response? "That certainly was a nice thing to do. You know, that reminds me of the Good Samaritan." Do you see the difference in those two responses? Because the first response is just, it was a nice thing to do. But the second one ties the act to a biblical principle, a biblical teaching, in that case, a story from the lips of Jesus. And that should be the case in as much as we possibly can do around the house. For another example, maybe you have certain rules around your house. Maybe one of the rules of your house is we always tell the truth, or maybe you word it in a negative way. We never lie at our house. Okay? That is absolutely a very important rule, a very important principle for the home. But where do you ground, or what do you tie that principle to, or that rule to? For example, you could say, we don't lie in our house just because we don't lie. Well, that's certainly good, and that's a wonderful thing to teach your children. But do you see how as a child grows and matures, they could begin to understand that we only do or do not do certain things because we are people and we make those decisions? Instead, should we not say something like, we don't lie in our house, we always tell the truth, because God expects us to tell the truth? And of course, there are multiple scriptures you could think about. In fact, a lying tongue is one of the things that God hates, according to Proverbs chapter 6. The New Testament tells us over and over again not to lie to one another. And so you ground those principles and those rules to scripture. And that's not to say that if a child says something that's not true, that every time they do that, you have to quote scripture to them. But what I am saying is, it is important for our children to see that the language around our house, the way we talk about things, the way we ground rules, the way we just do normal day-to-day things are grounded in biblical principles. And we're not afraid to use that language. In fact, we use that language quite often. That's a subtle way to fill your children's mind with scripture without saying, okay, sit down and read the book of Proverbs and then come back with a report about using the tongue or about telling the truth. No, we don't lie in our house because lying is one of those things that God hates. And Proverbs tells us that. And the New Testament tells us that we speak the truth. And on we could go. Number two, a subtle way to fill your child's mind with scripture or with the things of God is to listen to worship music. This ties back to something that I wrote on our website earlier this week. In fact, if you just listen to the podcast, you may not realize that A Legacy of Faith, a podcast, is tied to a website, A Legacy of Faith. It really is more blog articles than a podcast. We were traveling, my family and I were traveling, and we simply began to sing in the car. The children actually started it. But then we put in a CD of some a cappella music that we enjoy listening to that has some hymns and some newer devotional songs. And it got me thinking about, as I was thinking about this podcast, that is a subtle way we fill our minds, the minds of our children, with scripture. It's just at different times just to play those worship CDs or those worship playlists on Spotify. I found a couple of those as well. There are wonderful times to do that. For example, what better thing to prepare for worship on Sunday morning than to just play some music that has the hymns or singers that are singing wonderfully biblical devotional songs? But it doesn't have to be on Sunday morning. When you're preparing breakfast in the morning or whenever it happens to be, should that not be something that they hear? It doesn't just have to be listening to worship music, although that's what I have written on the list. You know, sometimes it's singing that. You know, do they hear us, you know, maybe making breakfast in the morning or whenever it happens to you, or vacuuming the house, they hear us singing worship songs. They just hear those songs, because so many songs, and this is not an old versus new statement, but so many, especially older hymns, are just rich with theological themes. Now, I will say a lot of newer devotional songs are simply scripture put to music, and that is certainly an absolutely wonderful thing. But you think about hymns like Holy, 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 that's just rich with theology and deep meaning. We sing those or listen to those around the house, in the car, wherever we happen to be, and those things just slowly infiltrate the minds of our children and help them to center their thoughts and center their minds on God and on His ways and on His Word and themes that deal with Him. It's a wonderful way to fill the mind of your children with Scripture. So number one, use biblical language. In other words, tie anything and everything you can in your day-to-day language and talk to biblical teachings and principles. Number two, listen to worship music or sing it. Number three, and hopefully this is one that if you're a Christian parent that you do anyway, but I want to mention it just in case you don't, and that is to ask your children about their Bible school. Your kids sit through a Bible class, I hope, on Sunday, and probably again on Wednesday night, I hope. Do you ever ask them what they learned about? Do you ever ask them, you know, what was your topic today in class, or who did you learn about in Bible school? Sometimes they might bring home a little craft or a little coloring sheet or some sort of review sheet. Do you ever use those? Whether it's in your Bible time or just sitting around the breakfast table. You know, several years ago now, our kids now are 12 and 11. I don't know how long this has been going on, but for a long, long time now, our kids know that on Sunday morning, or probably by the time we get to it, more like Sunday afternoon, sitting around the lunch table, and then Wednesday night, either driving home or right when we get home, we're just going to ask the simple question, what'd you talk about in Bible class? And we expect an answer that's more than just the Bible, or an answer that's more than just, well, we talked about something about Moses. You know, they don't have to remember everything, but are you willing to ask? And that, by the way, that accomplishes two goals. Number one, it gives you an insight into their learning and what they're learning in Bible school, and lets them know that you realize that Bible school is important. But as an intentional consequence of that, they also know they better be listening in Bible class and paying attention. Again, we don't put high expectations, as in, you know, quote the class to us or tell us every last detail about the book of Esther or whatever they happen to be studying. But just asking those questions, what did you learn? And when they say, oh, we studied about Vashti and how she lost being queen and Esther became queen. Okay, tell me what happened, honey. And let them just tell you that account in their own words. Just follow up a little bit. It's a very simple, subtle thing that I hope you're doing anyway. But in case you aren't, it's a great way to just, again, instill in your children the importance of Bible school and paying attention in Bible school, but also shows them that mommy and daddy really care, that I learned the Bible, and that I listen to those teachers and those classes when I go to Bible class. So use biblical language, listen or sing worship music. 3, ask about Bible school. Number 4, have biblical literature throughout the house. This is something we have talked about on the podcast before, especially when Leah's been with me on a couple of occasions. And we also had Eric Lyons as a guest maybe a year ago or so on the program from Apologetics Press. We are big proponents of Apologetics Press. I don't want to give a commercial for just them, but especially for children, just the literature that is available, the books, the booklets that they produce as well, are wonderful just to have scattered throughout the house. Your children often are inquisitive, if you actually turn off the television every once in a while, to pick up a book or a magazine and just flip through it. Well, it's wonderful if they pick up a science book or a history book or just a novel and read it. That's great. Our kids do that too, and we just want them to read and to learn and to grow in that skill. But included in that, do you have biblical literature throughout the house? And the reason I wanted to put this on the list is I'm not talking about sitting down and reading one of those books for your family Bible time. I'm talking about just having those things available. Again, Apologetics Press, some of their earliest little children's readers are just, you know, God Made Birds and things like that that, you know, you literally can read in about a minute and a half. My kids are 12 and 11, and every once in a while, they still pick those books up and just flip through them. Now, they've moved on to other more difficult books most of the time, but that's okay with me for them to be reminded that God made birds or God made a mouse or whatever they happen to be. But there are plenty of things. One other thing from Apologetics Press that I will mention, it costs just a little bit of money, but it's worth the investment, is to get your children a subscription to Discovery Magazine. Our kids love getting Discovery. It's a little magazine, I believe about 8 pages each issue, that talks about one theme throughout that issue, maybe archaeology or maybe how do we know the Bible's from God or different things like that. But it is so special for the kids to get that in the mail to them. You know, that's their magazine, just like Daddy gets the Gospel Advocate and Mommy gets Christian Woman. This is our magazine. But have this biblical literature throughout your house, where on the bookshelf or maybe a basket by the fireplace as we have, or maybe just a desk somewhere where your child can walk by and they see, you know, Daddy's book that he's reading and here's my book that I'm reading. It's a book about, you know, how God made dinosaurs, or it's a book about how we got the Bible. It's a wonderful way just subtly to put the Word of God in your children's heart, because you're not forcing them to read it. You're just making it available to them for when they do. Number 5. And again, one that should go without saying, but one that I need encouraging on more, and I know many parents do as well. If we're going to subtly fill our children's mind with Scripture, they need to see us with a Bible open on our laps. In other words, they need to see that this is important to us. We often tell our children, you know, they need to grow up reading and studying the Bible. You know, that's how we're going to get to know God, is read and study the Bible. But do they ever see mommy and daddy with a Bible open on our lap, or reading a book about the Bible, or do they just see us reading the latest novel, or just reading the newspaper, whoever gets a newspaper anymore? You know, but do they ever see us showing that this is something that is important to us? And that's not to say that we have to walk around with a Bible open 24 hours a day, but do they ever see us with a Bible open? And by the way, as they grow a little bit older, do they ever see us with a Bible open when we're not just studying to teach our own Bible class, or in my case, to preach a sermon? Do they ever just see that, you know, hey, Daddy went to the Bible to find the answer to that question, or Daddy was just reading his Bible this morning, or Mommy was just reading her Bible. I had to get up out of bed to use the restroom, and I walked by their bedroom, and there was Mommy reading her Bible. Do they ever see those things? They need to see that this is important to us, and it's something that we do, not just something we're telling them or asking them to do. And so let them see you reading and studying the Bible. We're talking about six subtle ways to fill your children's mind with Scripture. Mentioned five. I'll recap them quickly. To use biblical language, number one, that is to tie everything you do and say, or day, to biblical language and principles. Number two, to listen and to sing worship music. Number three, to ask them about their Bible classes. What did you learn today? What are you learning in Bible class? Number four, to have biblical literature throughout the house so that they can find and see books and other materials that help them learn the Word of God. Number five, you need to let them see you reading and studying the Bible. And here's number six, a subtle way to fill your children's mind with Scripture is to have Bible verses everywhere. You know, we're living in a time where we see a lot of this artwork, and it's a wonderful thing. That's just a Bible verse or a Bible phrase. That is a wonderful thing. And it harkens back again to that passage in Deuteronomy where the children of Israel were told to write the words of God on the doorposts and all these other places. We're harkening back to that. And I think that's a good thing. It's a good thing for everyone, but it's especially good for children to, no matter where they look, it seems, or at least no matter what room they're in, that there is a biblical phrase or statement right in front of them, either in artwork or maybe it's in pillowcases, whatever you call them. This is obviously not my area, or wherever it happens to be. And, you know, for example, in our kitchen, we have a little plaque that is the famous, you know, "As for me, my house, we will serve the Lord." That's a wonderful little thing. In our living room, we got this for Christmas from one of our friends who had made for us a plaque that contains Psalm 51 and verse 10. And there are other, you know, "Created me a clean heart, O God," is that passage. And there are others found throughout our house here and there. But I'd like to have more, because I think it's a wonderful reminder that God's Word is not just something we have at church. It's not just something we have on Sunday morning. It's something we have around us all the time. And just those subtle phrases in different places. And you can buy ones or make ones that are appropriate for certain rooms or certain parts of your house. For example, in the bedroom that Leah and I share, we have the phrase, "I have found the one my soul loves," from the Song of Solomon. That's special to us. And when our children come in that room, they see that, and they see that, you know, Mommy and Daddy's marriage is not just based on a ring or on anything else. You know, our soul loves one another. And that's a Bible verse. That's in God's Word. And it reminds them of that marriage is founded upon biblical principles as well. It's not just something we just do. It's not just something that society has just put together. There's something biblical behind all of this. And so have Bible verses or Bible phrases anywhere you possibly can. I know some of these things are expensive, some of these artworks, but some of you are artistic enough to make them yourself. I'm not for certain. But sometimes they aren't as expensive, and sometimes they're much more subtle. You know, maybe it's this may sound silly, but maybe it's a salt shaker that just has a verse, you know, engraved on the side of it or printed on the side of it. Just whatever you can afford or can do, where your children look and there's a verse from the Bible, there's a concept from the Bible before their mind, before their eyes, all of the time. So there you go. Six subtle ways to fill your children's minds with Scripture. This list is not exhaustive. It's not meant to be exhaustive. Six that I've just thought of the last few days, made a little list and decided to record this for the podcast this week for you to listen to. But hopefully you can think of others. And you can leave a comment on the show notes if you'd like to, if you think of others or have done others or do others. Or if you'd like to add some suggestions that go along with each of these. That'd be helpful as well to anyone who might listen. We won't have many. I'll put the list on the show notes, but there won't be links and those types of things. But if you would like to see the list again or interact with us in any way on this program, the show notes can be found at fawnfamily.com/POD103. fawnfamily.com/POD103. As I mentioned, Leah should be back with me on the next program in a couple of weeks. We look forward to being back with you then, and I look forward to having her back with me. I miss recording with her. I always enjoy that more than just sitting behind the microphone myself, for certain. I know you miss her as well. But we hope you'll be back with us. If you haven't subscribed to the program, please take a moment and do that if you're not a regular subscriber. That way you don't miss an episode at all, and you will be certain to get every episode when it comes out. We try to record every 2 weeks. Sometimes we can't, but we do our very best to do that, and we will try to do that again for you in 2 weeks. But until then, remember, your family can go to heaven. Just make sure you go there together.